it's really easy to compare to all the successful people out there, and just learning the balance of like, I'm on my own path.
The Subtle Art of Not Yelling is
your weekly companion helping creative entrepreneurs master the inner game, finish what you start, ship your work, and build a brand without yelling.
Because it's not the thunder that grows flowers, but the rain.
I'm in Lakeland, Florida, so that's kind of like an hour away from Disney and an hour away from Tom Brady. That's what I tell people.
That's awesome.
Right in the middle there. So we're more inland, about 4 hours north of Miami.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
How long have you been there? Are you from there? Or?
Yeah. I was born and raised here. And then my wife, I met at college. She's from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, I mean, did she choose you or did she choose the weather? Because your weather's a whole lot better than Harrisburg.
True. She honestly hates the weather.
Oh, fantastic.
She,
well, yeah, that's both. Good because you know she chose you then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, we both love the mountains and the cold air, the seasons. Not much of that in Florida. Surprisingly enough, this is one of the few seasons where we've actually had weather below the 60s for like 2 months. Normally it's like summer. There's 1 week of weather that's in the 60s, and then the rest, it goes back to summer, hot and wet.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man. I have visited at all times of year, and it always seems to be exactly the same.
Yeah.
Except like June and July, where it's just more hot.
Right. Yeah. And it's brutal. And you never get used to it. You think like, oh, you're from there. Like you kind of adapt. And I was like, no, you're constantly just feel like you're swimming. You're just always a little wet and hot all the time. Learn to layer.
Yeah, it's like I've played some shows in Florida where it felt like I was singing through a hot, wet towel.
Yeah. You know? that's about
right. If you just put a hot, wet towel on your face, that's what that's kinda like. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not as soothing as you'd think.
Oh no, not in the least.
By that description, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like after a yoga class where they put that. Oh, that's a cold towel. I guess that's the exact opposite.
Maybe before you get a shave, they put the hot towel around your face and everything.
There you go.
Which is honestly, you know, I had never really done that. And I just started doing that like because there wasn't a place near us. Last year, I guess. That's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
it's like amazing, that's like it's like day spa for men. You know, it's fantastic. I just go for the hot towel. The rest of it is all who gives a shit, you know, but it's
just forget the shave. Just do the towel.
Yeah, thing. Just put the towel on.
So, Bill, where are you located? Are you also in California?
I'm not. I'm in between y'all. I am outside of Austin, Texas, in between Austin and San Antonio.
Okay, nice.
Also fairly muggy and humid at times.
Yeah.
And I'm from
compared to California, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, I'm the asshole here.
You're the asshole.
Well, you are. You're Mr. Dry, perfect weather. You either lived in Colorado or California, so fuck you, you know.
Yeah. But most of my life has been in Austin, so I feel like I
earned
it.
That's true. You did. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay, fine.
Gordon, I wanna like kind of pick apart your inner world of you've been doing design for a long time. I guess starting is always the hardest part, but I wanna start with what you call yourself, which I freaking love because
I'm glad you did, because I love your website. It's beautiful, by the way. It's really gorgeous. And I don't know what I like more, that it's gorgeous or what you call yourself.
Exactly. All right, wait. You just opened up another thing too, because, and I hope you don't mind me saying, I remember complimenting your website like around the time we first met, and you didn't love it. You felt a little, oh yeah, it's a work in progress, like that kind of thing. So I kind of want to explore that. Let's do the other one first, though. You call yourself a brand obsessionist, which I love because I always kind of struggle with what do I call myself as kind of a brand, you know, architect, brand strategist, but I'm also a copywriter. I'm a designer, but like maybe that's not my main thing. So I don't want to call myself, I don't want to pigeonhole myself. I love brand obsessionist because that kind of just says it all. Well, how'd you come up with that? What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. honestly, coming up with the two word thing to describe yourself, obviously from Christo, he brings a lot of my influence, especially just on the business side. But it really came from I was really tired of trying to explain what I do to people. And usually like brand strategists, even you'd think that would make a lot of sense, but to a lot of clients, they're like, so what does that mean? You make logos? Do you, that's kind of the typical response. I also kind of resonated with like a recovering graphic designer. Whereas I've done graphic design for a long time and built up my skill set to be, you know, in my opinion, really quick and efficient, but still cranking out really high quality design. But I really wanted to shift more to kind of doing the strategy side of things and consultancy. And I feel like I could help solve larger problems than just like make it look nicer. I really wanted to help clients, you know, with their business goals. Like, let's look at, and that's really what branding is. It's not just visual, it's every facet of the company. Working consistently and efficiently to give off a feeling to people. So every little bit of your company in some shape or form kind of connects to brand in some case. So the obsessionist part is just all things brand. You know, I've kind of found myself really obsessed with. In my free time, my hobbies are kind of going through Pinterest and like just looking at what are other people doing, listening to podcasts, how can I be better, how can I be a better listener, how can I be a better communicator, and just helping people with that. So every facet of brand I love and obsess over, and I love like the nitty-gritty packaging. I still love like graphic design and kind of doing the work myself with my hands, but I think from a bigger scale, like I ultimately want to help solve a problem. I get more reward from that. So brand, everything about brand, I love brand. And then obsessionist just kind of fit because I just hyper fixate on the most nuanced, unimportant things that people probably would overlook that I'll still like, it has to be as perfect as I can get it. Which is a gift and a curse. Sometimes it's just like, okay, move on. It'll do the job and our time is up and you just need to send something out. It could always improve, but right now we just have, not that it's good enough, but this solves the problem. You can solve the problem a million ways, but this is good for what we need it to be.
Miles, you have clearly found a kindred spirit.
Yeah. I couldn't resonate that more with a lot of what you said. It's funny. I used to have like in my bio brand nerd, but I changed it for some reason. I don't know why, but it's kind of like the same idea is I didn't want to say I'm a brand designer, brand strategist, because that didn't feel like anything. And I was like, I just nerd out on this stuff. I look at just like you know, I can spend way too much time just looking at, you know, Pinterest or Behance or other people's work and what's going on and logos and all these cool design concepts and stuff. So it's like, I'm a nerd. You obsess over it. It's more playful that way. And I think it kind of says it all to your clients. They can trust you because that's your world. Like you really do enjoy it. It's not just like a job. I don't know if there's a easy way to answer this, but like, how do you know when you're done with something that it's good enough? Do you have like a sign, an internal message that tells you, all right, I need to stop because this could just keep going on forever?
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, it's an acquired skill. and I'm still working on it. But over the time of just doing this a lot, it was more about me at the beginning and how great I could make something. And I always knew I had more in me to like, oh, I can, it's not quite there, but I can see it. Like I can get it there. And I think kind of taking the focus off of me and most of the clients, like they're not going to notice if I spent an extra 20 hours on this little piece that they're not even going to see. And that's not to say like I would cut corners or say like I didn't do the best I could, but I think it's more about like, what is the client looking for? And is this going to solve their need? And I kind of get to a point where it's like, I'm satisfied where it feels complete. Yes, I could always tweak something or I could do it 10 different versions of it to make it different. But over time, I've just kind of settled with like, I've made a complete version that I think will solve their problem. Let's see what they think about it. And then usually most of the time, they don't really have much feedback other than, can you make the logo bigger? And I say no.
The infamous request.
Yeah. You know, nice. That's interesting though. That sounds a lot like when you were talking about Miles, when you asked him, how do you know when you're finished? I feel like as a songwriter, I asked myself that question too, you know, and I'll play something a bunch of times and think, all right, does this feel finished to me? Does it feel like there should be something else? And there's always that question like, well, I could do more, right? Mm-hmm. And I never really know until I hear it with somebody else's ears. When I play it for somebody or, you know, hand it to somebody and get just that little bit of outside feedback, then I know. Even if they say something stupid, you know, like, then I know, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that was really cool, Bill. Hear it with someone else's ears.
I'm like, well, you do, though, man. Down. When you play somebody something, totally. Like I'll have people, I've had this weird experience where I'll be in the studio and you've been in there all day, you're working on something, right? And I think I know what it sounds like. And then somebody comes in and sits down and listens to what you're working on, and I hear it differently.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's a weird, it's like a phenomenon.
It's bizarre, but I kind of love it at the same time. It makes me careful of who I have listen to things and when, right? Because I'm not always ready to hear it through somebody else's ears. It needs to stay in mind for a while. But but it's a great way to sort of go, okay, am I done? You know, is this where I want it to be?
Yeah, that's a great point too, of just getting other feedback, because sometimes you can only stare at the thing you've made so long and you're just like, I need someone else to just give, like, I can't see anything else. Like, I know I can add more to it, but I don't know what that is. And then someone else will come in and like, oh, you're done. This looks great. I'm like, oh, all right. I don't need to worry about it anymore. Or it's like, oh, what if you did this? And then that one comment opens this idea of like, oh, that just opened up this whole different direction. Let me change all this stuff. And now it's not even what I didn't know it could be.
Should I assume that you went to school for design or graphic design or something?
You should not.
Awesome. have you always had your own business, or did you sort of come out of school, work for somebody else or do other things and then morph into what you're doing now?
Yeah. So, didn't officially, like, I don't have a degree at all from anywhere. Through grade school and everything, I was really into illustration and painting, and I had an act for it. And I took art class because it was fun, and everybody took it because it was like a free A. In grade school, it was just kind of like, oh, that's what everybody's doing. It's not really hard. There's no homework. You get to paint and hang out with your friends. And so obviously that's the one I chose too. And then one of my art teachers pulled me aside and said, like, you're actually pretty talented at this. Like, we want to submit your painting. It was like watercolor at the time, to a competition. And I won. And I was like, oh, okay, there's something here. And I actually enjoyed it. over the course of just trying to figure out like my life and career and how I'm going to make money, it's like I loved creativity. I loved art, but there really wasn't a clear option. No one was really teaching me or you know, lifting me up to say you could do this for a career in the creative world. So it wasn't until high school I learned about graphic design. I was like, oh, I can do art on the computer. And it's more like technology is more up and coming. And that's like more of a desirable new thing. So I took some college courses here and there in Photoshop, but most of what I learned was through just YouTube and teaching myself and just messing around with the technology. And then I got Adobe certified and all the InDesign, Illustrator, Photoshop, that kind of thing. But that was just through some like Udemy course. And once I really understood like all the shortcuts and all the just quick ways to do something, I realized you can make this, you can come up with the same outcome a million different ways. I just kind of figured out which way maybe wasn't the correct way, but it was the faster, more efficient way. Cause at the end of the day, no one's going to look at all your layers of how you got there. There's like, you got the finished piece and you got it quicker than everybody else. And it looks just as good or better. And so, as far as like working for anybody, I worked at a grocery store for about 4 or 5 years, selected really heavy boxes in the warehouse. And did that for about a year. I was the fruit ninja in the produce section where I'd come in at 4 a.m. and cut all the fresh fruit every morning. Gave me a lot of discipline, but it wasn't really fulfilling creatively. And it was a great company, but ended up doing some freelance stuff for a marketing agency. Just here and there, little like make a postcard kind of thing. And it was like, okay, I can kind of see how this applies to business. So, and I know I'm kind of all over the place, but, I got into photography a little bit, started taking pictures of my friends, just for fun, getting really into portraits and stuff. Ended up being, the local church that I was attending actually reached out to me and said they wanted to hire me to do all their graphics and design and socials and all that kind of stuff. So, that kind of gave me the opportunity to be creative in a paid position full time. And because it was a church, they were pretty relaxed on how I came to things of just like, we just need a graphic for the screen, or we just need these things, like come up with something. And it really allowed me to just practice daily all day from 9 to 5 and just get in the system of how things work, and then also understanding how things work from an agency standpoint, because that's how they were set up as a business. So just understanding the flow of all of that, I feel like I really owe it to just allowing the time to kind of understand that. And so I dropped out of school because I was like, this is what I'm going to school for anyway. And I already got a paid job, so why do I need the degree? And I really wasn't feeling like I was learning in the classroom. Like a lot of the teachers were like, this is how the pen tool works. And I was like, that, I already know how to do that. Like, how do I make that ad that Nike just did? Or how do I, you know, Apple just released this new packaging. How do you make that? Like, how does that happen? And they just weren't really teaching that kind of stuff. So, I just kind of took the first opportunity I had with that. And I did side like logos and stuff on the side, but didn't really know how to price, didn't know how to do that. And that's how I came across Chris Doe with just how to price for value. And that just opened up a whole nother realm that I'm like, oh my gosh, I had no idea this existed. And I just consumed it. That's where the other obsession kind of started. It was the first time doing logos and stuff for friends, like for a cup of coffee. They're just like, hey, I'm starting this t-shirt business. I need a logo. And I messed around with that and just happy for the opportunity. I was eager to just like do, you know, build a portfolio. And, it was the first time somebody asked me that asked for a logo, and I made it for them and they liked it. It was great. But they asked my opinion of like, well, what do you think we should do? Like how, like, what do you think would work? And it was the first time that someone asked my opinion and I wasn't treated like an order taker, where I was very used to just like, just grind it out and just, here's what we need you to do. We don't really need your opinion. We just need you to make it. And that I loved, where I was like, oh, well, if it were me, this is how I would do it. And then that just felt like the brand strategy side, where I could help people with business, and then that would influence design, which then saved me and my client more time and energy, where it's like, I'm not having to guess. Like, you want it to be bold and innovative and minimal and appeal to this audience. I go, okay, great. Here's what it is. And then they're like, well, that's not exactly what we meant at all. And so our clients really don't know how to ask what they want most of the time, just the vernacular. And even in the design community, I feel like there's certain terms, like even branding. I feel like there's so many people in the creative space that brand is a buzzword. It just means whatever you want it to mean. And so I feel like there's just so much confusion around that the only way to really get to a goal is to have that conversation and dig into, like, why are we doing this in the first place? So that's kind of how I was like, you know, I'm not really satisfied at the church anymore. I've kind of hit the ceiling of what I can do. And I tried applying other places, other agencies, and nobody would even respond and say, we're not hiring. I just, like, stonewalled nothing. And that was right around when COVID hit, and I was like, perfect time. I'm at home all the time. I mean, everybody else, I feel like, felt that way of like, I'm going to start a business, or I'm going to make an Etsy shop or something, you know? It really gave me the time to just kind of crank out the work I needed from home. And then I had all week to just kind of focus on, like, okay, I want to do this. I don't know what that looks like. And it evolved into offering strategy and identity systems. And now it's, you know, evolving again, and how to make that more of a consistent revenue. And yeah, so I think I answered your question. Awesome. I was on a rant for so long.
No, that's...
You totally did. Yeah, you
did. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool to hear the, like, how organic your journey has been. Like, none of it was really... It doesn't sound like it was forced or even really that premeditated. Like, you just kind of followed things and leaned into your curiosities, and you were like, well, I want to learn how are they making that? You're not showing me that. So you kind of went and figured it out on your own in a lot of ways with all the infinite resources that we have right now. It's really cool to hear. I relate with a lot of that, and especially like not being, I don't really have any formal, you know, I studied marketing in school and then did marketing, did some sales, and branding and design just kept like knocking at my door, so to speak, until finally I let it in. But
yeah,
so that comes with some like imposter syndrome and all that bullshit. Do you have any of that? What does it look like? What does it sound like? How do you combat the inner critical voice?
Yeah, totally. I think there is a lot of that, just because for so long, as you know, the United States, how educational system was, it was very like, you go to college and that's how you get a job, and that's how you get a higher paying job, is now you're a doctorate, now you can do this. I just think more and more people are seeing that's not always the case. I think it really depends on what career field you're going. I think if you want to be a doctor, yeah, you should probably have certification and a doctorate and, you know, do what you need to do. But I think for the creative space, it's not always necessary. I think with the proper teacher, I think it is. But yeah, so the imposter syndrome, I think there's just so many more educated people, I feel like, on the matter. And I think also just with how social media is, I keep seeing just daily all these people that look so much more professional than me. And they, at least they're claiming that, just like, oh yeah, well, you know, I made $2 million last month with all my clients. And maybe that's true. And maybe they did that one time and now they have no money left over because they didn't actually profit from it. Or, you know, there's so much nuance to it, but you see it all the time. And that was like my biggest enemy, of just like, I'm running out of time. And I mean, I'll be 30 next week. But I think the past few years, I was just like, I have to figure this out. I have to, you know, bring in more income. So now I'm married. I have a kid and another kid on the way. I'm a homeowner, so I have a mortgage. So there's just all this other stuff in life that it's not as easy as if I was just a college student still. I wish I knew all this earlier. Of course, you always do. But I also have that balance of like, I'm not that old yet either. I think I am ahead of a lot of other people, especially in my age demographic. And it's really easy to compare to all the successful people out there. And just learning the balance of like, I'm on my own path and that's okay. I don't have a degree, but there's so many other successful people that don't either. And, just trying to figure out the best path for me at whatever my pace is. And I didn't, close on this $100 million brand deal by the time I was 25, but, who knows kind of where
not
I'm
many people
going
do.
To be. Not many people do, but
those are unicorns all the time. That do that stuff.
But yeah, literally. Yeah. So, I think just trying to find that balance and not be so hypercritical of, I really do think I have a lot to offer and I can have, offer a lot of value, but it's hard when you don't have all the awards and the degree and the deep, deep portfolio of stuff that you've done before. But yeah, I do really feel capable. So it's that balance of, I know I can prove it, but at the same time, I'm not trying to be loud in everybody's face about it and like cocky. So there's that, like, I'm confident and I can do it, but I'm also like, I kind of know where I stand and I'm like, this is my first time trying this way. I think it'll work, but I mean, you're just gonna have to trust me on it. And that's hard to do all the time. But sometimes people bet on you and it works out.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, first of all, if it makes you feel any better. As someone who's old enough to be your dad, I think you're doing fine.
Thank you.
You're doing great. Yeah. You're way ahead. But, when I was looking at you, I have some examples of work that you've done on your website, right? Mm-hmm. And one, I was really impressed with the varied things, from a product or a food, brand to, a hotel or a building or a shop. Right. And I just had this thought when I was looking at it. Cause I was about to give Miles a hard time for having yet another branding person on the podcast. Cause I like to give him a hard time about it. But I had this thought that went along with that, man, I don't know where, at that time I didn't know you were in Florida or where you were in the world, but it's so necessary for all businesses really to have an appropriate, look and feel to whatever it is they're doing. Everybody who has a business needs that. And unless you have a business that, it's a franchise in some way, or it's handed, if you're a State Farm agent, well, you know what your stuff's going to look like. Right. And sure. State Farm isn't going to change their brand. Right. So put that over in the corner, but everybody else, every mom and pop, every entrepreneur, solopreneur, small business, whatever, they need it. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, I'm probably, for me, more likely, especially if I was local to you and I found out about you, I'm more likely to talk to you about it than to go find some place that has awards or a bunch of letters after their name or whatever. Because first of all, I'm going to automatically think they're out of my league, And I might feel like you're going to understand what I need better,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, being approachable and... Yeah, I really like what I think I heard it from Chris Doe originally, and it was something like it's actually on my website. Design is easy, but figuring out what problem to solve with design is the hard part. Mm-hmm. It's like, design, anyone can like whip up, especially nowadays, anyone can whip up something with like templates and stuff, But what are you doing with that? Why? What's the purpose? I think that's the most valuable part. And there's a lot of nuance and yeah, it's a process to get there. And it's extremely valuable.
Well, yeah, speaking of which, do you feel like you have, I think you said as much, but do you feel like you have at this point for yourself a well-defined process to get that question answered? You know, like what problem am I solving here and what can I do to solve it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've kind of shifted my agency from being just a design hub to be more on the consulting side, and then design follows. So now I don't take on any project until we do strategy. And unless it's like a one-off, you know, a previous client and they're like, hey, we just need an updated brochure thing. And then, you know, that's a pretty quick thing. I don't have to figure out the target audience and everything.
They already have some strategy.
Yeah. So unless a client comes to me and they say, hey, like we already know our target audience and they have all this data and they said, this is our mission, this is why we believe it. If they understand all that and they go, we just need help on the visual side, then absolutely. Then I have what I need to go off of. But 9.9 times out of 10, they have a cookie cutter mission statement that sounds just like everybody else's. You go on any website and they're all the same. Their audience is just whoever has money in their wallet. It's not really like specifically to what they're offering. So it's just little things like that. I'm just like, I already have an understanding of where the problem is, of why you're not doing as good as you need to do. And it's not because your logo sucks, because there's been several people that I've worked with where I didn't do any design, but I even told them like, hey, before, like, you know, that's fine if we can't work together. But here's kind of an outline of how I would go about it. And I said, you need to understand who you are as a brand, who your company is. And that means you have a clear alignment of like, these are our values, this is what we stand for. This is why we do it in the first place. This is the problem we're solving and here's how we do it. And just like, this is how we respond to clients. This is how we communicate when we post on social media. This is how it looks and sounds and feels. Once you have a clear idea of that, then we dive into the audience and say, who is this for? I think there's been several people, whether it's Christo or Melinda Livesey or, several other people that are doing brand strategy, they treat it as like dating. So it's like your brand is a person and your target audience is a person or a set of people. Like there's a user persona that this is who they are and this is who they are. How would that person respond to your brand as a person? And to see where the mismatches are, see where there are gaps, see where it doesn't make sense or there's opportunities. And just say like, hey, this person is really needing this. Your company's set up to do this certain thing that isn't quite that, but you have an easy opportunity to take one step and shift it. And now you're solving a problem for your target audience that you didn't even know that you could. Then once all of that is figured out, we dive into visual direction, stylescapes, logo systems, color palette, typography, getting into the visual, the fun stuff. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy all of it, but yeah, the nitty gritty, the visual, I think everybody enjoys that more than like trying to sight through like what do we care about? Why do we value it?
Yeah, that's what every client, that's what everyone thinks that they need, right? They're like, oh, I just need a logo and like a cool visual, this and that. And it's like, well, wait, why? What do you actually need?
Yeah, but then yeah,
who do you want to think? Who do you want to see it? Who do you want to have see it and have them go, oh, that's really cool? Because it might look cool to me and it might look really stupid to somebody else.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want them to feel and do and think? Like it's so, branding is so cool. Mm-hmm. You can really influence. I mean, there's so many, there's audio branding, there's experiential branding, right? There's like, you walk into a store and it has a specific scent or something. Like there's so many different ways you can influence your audience. Cool.
Do you know that when you go to the mall or any place where they have a Cinnabon, Do you know that that's a manufactured scent? That's not actually Buns cooking?
I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. It's actually the same company that bought, you remember Muzak, elevator music? So there's a company out of France called Mood, and they bought Muzak, and they also have this manufactured scent arm. Or they did. That company may have changed. I don't know. But that's a thing. Like, they basically just blow cinnamon bun scent, you know, all over the place so that you'll come over there and it makes your mouth water and you really want a bun, you know.
I wish you could somehow track that, like the difference between having that scent and not having that scent and the amount of revenue.
I'm sure
over
they
the
track
years.
That. I have no doubt that they track that. Because truthfully, like when you drive past a fast food place and you smell French fries, that's the same thing.
Man, that's so manipulative.
Yeah. Which, isn't that crazy? I know it's manipulative and it's really cool and it's it's crazy. But look, you've done it. You've bought stuff because it looked cool.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I've looked at brands just because they look cool. You know, I like the way that looks.
Yeah. Speaking of food, brands that I just bought because it was cooler. I don't know if you know the brand Tillamook. They make cheese, dairy, milk, whatever. Yeah, that's all it is. But when I saw that packaging and the little ship on it and the bright color, I was like, wow, this is like really clean. I was like, what is this? I'm like, it's just cheese. And then now it's like, and they were just cheese. I didn't never heard of them before. And then as I go through the grocery store, now I see, oh, they make milk. Oh, they make sour cream. Oh, they make, oh, it's dairy. It's literally anything, but it's all over the grocery store. And now I'm like, I see it everywhere. And I'm like, oh.
Now I see it everywhere.
And it was also incredibly good. And it was more expensive than just like the name brand or the off-brand like butter. But it looked cool, and then they followed up with that promise of like, oh, it's like also delicious, like, and it's has all this natural stuff in it. Don't quote me on that. I didn't read the ingredient label, so maybe it doesn't. But
no, actually, I was willing they do to, a pretty good job, actually.
And I was willing to pay more because it not only looked good, but it tasted better. So I was like, oh, they got me with the visual. So that's where the visual really does come in. It is important. The whole thing of like, don't judge a book by its cover is doesn't really apply because that's what we do. You see the cover and it's like, I'm not going to read it if the cover looks dumb. But yeah, it's what's inside that keeps you coming back and coming back again and again, because it's like, oh, they followed up with what they promised.
Yeah. I want to go back for a second because you said you got to a point where you were reaching out to agencies for a job. And no one even responded. And then basically you decided to go on your own, right? And build your own business. And with that comes so many different hats and challenges. And what I'm curious how it's been for you. What are you thinking about like the like marketing and getting clients? And I mean, that's a whole world, right? Aside from just being really good at brand design and brand strategy, you have to actually get clients and you have to kind of build your own brand. Have you had any success with that? What have you learned? What are the challenges?
Yeah. Honestly, I wear all the hats. I'm the only employee. I am strategist and designer, and I'll send you the invoice and I'm mopping up afterwards. Like I'm all of it. I understand the importance of delegating, because now at this time in my life with having a kid and a half and a house and a wife and just like all these other responsibilities, that I don't have as much time as I used to. So as much as I love design, just taking on like 3 or 4 clients, I can do, but it's very hard to market or create content and be top of mind. So that is one thing I have personally lacked a lot. I personally hate social media. I don't go on it as much as I used to. I pretty much realized social media was just for dating when I had it in college. I was on it. I was on Instagram all the time, and I realized, I was like, oh, I'm following every single girl that I know. And then I got married and I was like, I don't really care what's on Instagram anymore. I understand the importance of it, but also, yeah, I'm in this weird circle where I have clients and I'm getting them, but it's usually through word of mouth, and I'm starting to circulate locally, where a lot of people in like the local like incubator and startups and stuff, they are passing my name around. So that's been good for just side money. But as far as like sustainability to where I could hire another person is not there. And so I'm kind of like, I know I need to delegate, but I don't have enough money coming in to pay somebody, and I can't have enough time to market because I need someone else to do that, but I can't hire them. So I'm just like stuck in this little spot. I currently am the lead designer at our local university. It's Southeastern University. And it's honestly great. The people are awesome. I'm working on a lot of really cool big campaigns. I'm not really allowed to post too much about it, just NDA and all this stuff. And I can't post all this work for a university and then another university hire me, because then it would be conflict of interest. So I get it. But it's also tough because I'm like, all my time is going into this like really cool project that I can't show. I'm still, you know, deep down wanting to run my own agency, and I still am. I have clients. It's just very limited. And so I'm kind of shifting my business model to where I can do a little bit more of a subscription. So similar to what's that guy's name?
The
Design Joy. So I did something similar, and I ended up landing one client, which was great. And then I just had consistent revenue coming in to make pretty quick design. And I was like, if I had three of those, I could replace my income. But then again, I just don't have time to market it. So that's one of my big things for 2024 that I'm really trying to create more discipline around for myself, is to make time to just be active and just reach out and do emailing and post on LinkedIn, and just like, I have all this stuff that I know I can talk about. I just don't do it. So.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It feels to me like, you know, we're similar in that my business has largely been through just me being in the world, and I talk to people and they find out what I do and they become a client. Right.
Yeah.
And maybe all there is to do, because I totally get what you mean. I mean, I have a kid, I have a house, I have a wife, all the stuff, right? A life, mm-hmm. two jobs, you know, the whole deal. And it can be very difficult to then decide, okay, well, I'm going to take on a LinkedIn marketing campaign. Well, first of all, even the thought of that kind of makes you want to stab yourself in the face, doesn't it? I mean, it doesn't sound
multiple
fun.
Times. Yeah,
absolutely. maybe before you do that, you didn't ask, but I'm going to offer it anyway.
No, I welcome all.
It's just double down on what already works. Yeah. You know, you just said you have this other idea you want to move into. Well, just tell everybody that that's what you're doing. You know, talk to as many people as you possibly can and tell them that's what you're doing. Be out, make sure you're out in your world telling people that that's what you're doing, and you'll get those three things, you know, those three people that you're looking for, you know?
Yeah.
And then that might open up enough space that you can go, okay, if I was gonna do a LinkedIn marketing campaign, what might that look like? Instead of having it be something that, oh, I have to do this to get to the next level, because that never feels good.
Right.
And it takes a long time. You know, it takes a long time. I mean, if I'm actually starting one and I don't expect it, get anything from it for 6 months, you know, because I just won't, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe I will, but if I expect it, then I certainly won't, and it'll suck.
Yeah. No, that's great. I love that. Yeah.
I always wonder, because we're all kind of the same in that way, I'm always resistant on social, kind of inconsistent, but I always wonder, like, what if you just did the old school stuff? Like, obviously, go out in the world, which can be time consuming and scary for some people, but that is like one of the best ways to get work and get clients, is to just meet people face to face. But I'm always curious about, like, what if you, if you're doing well locally, what if you like put flyers or send mailers to a bunch of people and spent like, you know, $500 or $1,000 on a campaign, and all you need is like one or two clients. You could plant seeds at least that way and get creative and kind of go old school with it. And I feel like you would almost stand out so much just because everyone's online, everyone's doing that. And that, if you figure that out, it's awesome. But what if you just went, you know, old school? So
no, that's a great idea. Yeah, I love that.
I've thought about
I mean, you could, you could make an incredible looking, you know, piece of marketing, you know, whether it's a card or a mailer or whatever. You could probably pay a kid $100 to take one to every shop in town. You know what I mean? Right. Or every business, you know, on a particular street or in a particular area or whatever, you know.
That's true. That's thinking great. Creatively. I like that.
And yeah, and that's the thing too, is like, I have lots of marketing ideas, and doing that, like, I love that. Right now I'm just too in the business. And so like, what I need to do is stop taking work for a second and just like finish up the few clients I have left. But it's like, I'm in the middle of projects, and then someone else reaches out and is like, hey, I got another project for you, which is great. But it's like, it's burning me out to where I can't like work on the business and figure out, okay, I have this new marketing campaign. Let me design something for that, because all the energy is going into making this thing for someone else, or being on Zoom calls and doing strategy sessions and everything. So, but yeah, no, I'm right there with you. I love that.
So, left turn. Are you still building sheds?
Yeah, the shed in my current backyard is kind of the bane of my existence. We put it up ourselves and everything, and everything, like, it took all the extra money that we had to like put into it. And then all, like, we're just like, oh, it needs a floor. Like, the ground isn't level. And so like, we cheaped out on some, like, not weatherproof plywood, just cause it was so freaking expensive. And then it was just like, water was dripping in, mold got in, all the stuff taken out. Now there's termites in it, and the wood's falling apart. We're just like, just burn it, throw it down. Not as much, but we're actually in the process of moving as well. So we're selling our house to the new homeowners. If they're watching this, the termite problem has been resolved. All the wood is gone. All the mold is gone. We fixed it all. The shed is still standing. It's great.
Chances are they're probably going to see this. So
I know, right? Now the new house that we're moving into potentially has a shed in the back that's all insulated and drywalled and electrical run to it, and a mini split already connected. And I was like, there's my office right there.
Wow, there you go.
So super stoked for that, if that works out. So I won't have to build it. It'll just be made and done.
Excellent. Well, so it sounds to me like you may have actually have more time on your hands than you used to, because you won't be taking big, long dives into DIY build your own shed videos on YouTube.
Exactly. Yeah. I need to update my bio. I haven't watched a shed video in a while. Yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering the status of that.
Well, you know, you kind of answered this, but I wouldn't mind if I'm going to ask it again. We didn't ask, but you answered a question we didn't ask, but I want to see what you say when I actually ask it. So, you kind of said it, but tell me again, like, what's next? Like, what is this next iteration you're moving into?
Yeah. So honestly, I've just always had a dream of running my own agency. I don't think of it as being like this huge, like, 100-person agency. I still want to keep it somewhat small. So, but you know, that is the goal. I want to hire, have a team. Which one thing that working at this university kind of opened up this door that I didn't really expect, which it was just an opportunity, and I took it. It was an upgrade from where I was at. But we're working a lot closely with students at the university and kind of teaching them. And it's kind of funny. You don't know what you don't know until someone asks you and you're like, oh, yeah, I do that all the time. And so, yeah, these kids are coming to me and they're just like, wow, you did so great on this one project. Like, how did you do that? Or how do I get a job doing design? Like, what does my resume need to look like? And just kind of teaching and helping, I think is something I didn't really know I needed to work on. But being in that position really helped me shift to where even explaining my process to somebody, I'm just like, I don't know. I just kind of went into a dark room for 6 hours and this is what happened. So now I can kind of say like, this is why I made this decision. This is what I mean when I say, you know, make this type bigger because you're creating more visual space for the reader when they're lead, you know, stuff like that, that, is helping me become a better leader to when I have a team under me and I can give direction and I can uplift and I can, you know, just be a good boss, and be a good founder of a company that people want to come work for. So that's really exciting. But yeah, as far as like down the line, I would love to have like a really cool, just brick and mortar space that is part design studio, part, I know this sounds so like cheesy. Everybody thinks that it's like part coffee shop, part something. I want to sell merchandise. I want to have like a brand. So like, as far as like, you know, brands that I think of that I kind of strive to be, not necessarily style wise, but just as far as like, I really love what they've done, is something like Kith. I don't know if you've heard of them, K-I-T-H. It was just a shoe designer, a sneaker designer, and then he ended up building his own kind of brand and doing a lot of collabs with a bunch of big brands, Asics, Adidas, Nike, and making his own designed shoe. And then that kind of blew up into fashion, and now it's just really high quality stuff. But what they do a great job with just the experience. They did something with like, I think it was Comic-Con, where they made their own Kith branded like Galaga, like machine, like one of those old time, like Pac-Man machines. And it was just so cool and retro, but it was modern. And then they did like a whole show around it and did like their spinoff of X-Men characters. And it was just like a really cool, they've done stuff with Mickey Mouse and everything. So, I don't really know what that looks like. I just know I want to be more than just an agency or a company that does design or does consultancy. I want it to also be a brand where it's like, oh, I want to be a part of whatever they're doing. If that makes sense. So right now the tangible is like coffee shop merchandise, and a cool like environment that I want to like go spend time with and hang out in. That's kind of like what I can see that turning into, but I want to do big partnerships and cool packaging and just, that's kind of like the fun stuff that I really ultimately want to do. How to get there or what that exactly looks like, I don't really know. But right now I'm just doing what I know, and I'm like, I just need to focus on the current step is I need to bring in enough income where I can hire people. And then from there, now I empower people and I, you know, make the company bigger and we get bigger clients and whatever that kind of turns into. So yeah, that's the vision of what I would hope to come. But yeah, I'm just kind of enjoying the little in-between parts that I didn't plan for to help me get there. That's kind of what I really like, is just kind of stumbling into something that you didn't know you needed. And I don't know if this kind of tags me as like, oh, I'm a glass half full kind of person. Where it's just like you get thrown into a circumstance, and rather than like, oh, I'm still not at my dream yet, I'm kind of like, oh, well, I guess I didn't realize like I'm getting better at this part of me, which is going towards that goal. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes total sense. Sometimes I think, you know, whatever we thought that dream was to begin with, we had a picture of it that's not how it's going to look anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I can't wait to come visit the coffee shop and wear
me too.
Some merch.
I love a good coffee
shop. It's going to be really good. Yeah. The vibes are going to be immaculate.
I love it.
You know, we always ask. It's a thing we do. Do you consider yourself more introverted or extroverted?
I was prepared for this question because I just listened to another episode and you said, we always ask this question. I go, okay, good. They're going to ask me that question. Yeah, I think I would technically consider myself an introvert based on, like, I love being around people. I think I'm really good with people. But just in the fact of, like, I can only do it for so long and it really drains my energy. So it's like my wife is the polar opposite, where she is, loves being out, loves being with her family. We have 10 different group text messages that go off daily, and I cannot muster the strength to respond half the time, just because it's like, I don't care what you ate just now. I don't know. It's just, it's something that I definitely, I love the smaller, like this. I love the three person, just deeper conversation rather than like, let's go to a concert. Although I love concerts. I've been to quite a few, but especially now at this point, I'm very comfortable with staying at home and watching a movie with like close friends or family rather than like, I'd rather go out to a restaurant. Usually what I'd opt for, but yeah, I think when the time approaches, like when it's ready, like, hey, we need you to kind of turn it on. I hate it deep down, but I can, and I'm pretty good at it. So I'm trying to figure out the best way to just like, how do I not care? And just like, cause I'm good at it. I can turn it on. I just like deep down, it's like visceral agony. I sweat everywhere and I'm just like, I'm fine. I'm good at this. I can just do it. But my body doesn't agree with it.
Yeah. Well, I think we can relate. It's such a muscle that you get to kind of choose whether you want to like strengthen it or not. And I feel like today it's so easy. It's the default is often just to chill, especially for creatives. Because I feel like typically we're better at like solitude. I mean, I could hang out alone forever and have no problems with it. Because I have like stuff that I can always work on and build and create. Mm-hmm. But there is also that other piece that I think is so important and it's good to work on. I'm always trying to kind of push myself a little bit. And then when you start to get it, it comes back. You know, and you can find some momentum with it, which can be energizing to a point.
Yeah. And to that, I just remembered. So during COVID, I loved it because I love just like I'm at home all the time and I can just dive into my work and I can work literally like 15 hours straight. I was just like sitting at my desk and I would just consume and practice and try to grow and be better and all that stuff. And I was just like in it, consuming content. And I loved it. I was like, oh, this is great. No one's distracting me. I'm not getting, you know, pulled into these useless meetings that kind of kill time. But by the end of it, when we started going back to work, I noticed because usually I think I'm pretty witty. I'm pretty like off the cuff. Sometimes someone says something and I can just kind of riff. But after COVID and everything, we started coming back. I was like, I would literally get scared that I'm like, I can't, my mouth won't work. Like I literally don't, I'm like, why, when did I suck at talking so bad? Like I thought I was actually getting dumber and I'm like, I'm just not used to talking to people. And it was like a real thing. And I'm like, I have to like practice like going out and talking to people again. It was just weird. So it's good to have that balance. Especially when you're in this business, it's not just designing and I'm like locked in my cave. It's like, most of the time it's like 70 to 80% of this. I'm, you know, on a Zoom call or I'm doing a strategy session. And I have to like talk to them and get them to uncover why they believe something. And just having that communication, I think, is so key. But then at sometimes, you know, just like, I can't be distracted. I got to go do my thing. Leave me alone for 2 hours or whatever.
Yeah. But, well, you make a good point because building a business, growing a business, continuing a business, you got to talk to people. You just do. Yep. Whether you want to or not, you really have to.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, man. Gordon, thank you.
Yeah. No, thank you, guys. This was great.
Time flew by, man. It's a great conversation. I look forward to catching up with you down the road and seeing the next iteration.
Yeah, same. Maybe in like 6 to 8 months, we'll have a check-in. And
finding out, all about that new baby and mm-hmm. how two kids is going.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Thanks again, Gordon.
Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you guys. Have a good one.
Miles and I don't always do very well with discipline, consistency, and grinding our way through the creative process.
We're also tripped up with things like overwhelm, imposter syndrome, perfectionism, and lone wolf syndrome on a weekly basis, and it's not a good feeling.
So a couple years ago, we created The Box to solve our own problem. The Box is a container and community for creatives to stay accountable, do the work, and actually finish what they started. We help you prioritize your projects and create a box around it.
We co-work twice a week for 90 minutes and support you in bringing projects to the finish line. It's not teaching you anything new. It's giving you the structure to focus and create with what you already have.
Because amazing things happen on the other side of finished. Come try it out and see how it feels at theboxcommunity.com. That wraps another episode of The Subtle Art of Not Yelling, your home for creative growth.
If our words have resonated with you, subscribe, share, and leave us a review. It means a lot and helps us reach more creative entrepreneurs.
Join us next week as we continue to explore the art of quietly becoming a creative superpower and thriving without yelling.
Until then, keep nurturing your ideas, honing your craft, and shipping your work.
Because amazing things happen on the other side of finished.